This system is being put in place using lies, and it's being put in place using lies for some purpose, and I believe that purpose is complete totalitarian control. And I think the purpose of that is going to be mass depopulation. I can't think of a single benign interpretation for the simple creation of these top-up vaccines, let alone the lies that surround them. And I'm absolutely terrified that the combination of vaccine passports and top-up vaccines is going to lead to, you know, mass depopulation, deliberate execution, potentially of billions of people. So over the last 3 months, I've spoken to 8 professors at UK universities whose discipline includes immunology. And I've discussed with them what I'm going to tell you about virus variants. And they've all agreed with my interpretation. None of them will say anything. And it's because I won't get a grant from the Wellcome Trust or the Medical Research Council has suggested. I won't get grants if I speak about this stuff. So I want you to know that the academics in your country are easily pushed around, frankly, by both politicians and people with lots of money. So of the things that your governments and advisors have misled you about, I think most severely and honestly frightens me, and is the catalyst for me making these recordings, is the issue of virus variants and the following issue, the related issue of top-up vaccines or variant vaccines. So let me just quickly explain. This is really, really critical to your very survival. It's quite normal for RNA viruses like SARS-CoV-2 when it replicates to make typographical errors. That's what it does, typos. It's got a very good error detection, error correction system, so it doesn't make too many typos, but it does make some. And those are called variants. But it's really important that you know that if you find the variant that's most different from the sequence identified in Wuhan, that variant, the most distant, is only 0.3% different from the original sequence. So I'll say it another way. If you find the most different variant, it's 99.7% identical to the original one. And I can assure you, and I'm going to explain why I'm sure, that that amount of difference is absolutely not possibly able to represent itself to you as a different virus. That's what people are leading you to think, that maybe variants will escape your immunity, either caused by a vaccine or by natural infection, and it's an absolute lie. So why do I know that? Well, 17 years ago, 18 years ago, there was a virus called SARS, which is actually very similar to SARS-CoV-2. It's 80% similar to SARS-CoV-2. And there were some experiments done last year where they found people who'd been infected by SARS 17 years earlier and asked them to donate blood, and they did. And there were tests done on their cells in that blood, and they wanted to know, were the circulating immune cells still able to recognize SARS 17 years later? And they were. They all still had memory T cells circulating around their body. That's great. That's what I would have expected. They also did a really important experiment. They showed those same people's T cells the new virus, SARS-CoV-2. And unsurprisingly to me, they recognized that new virus. And that's because the new virus is 80% similar to the old one, 20% different. So just to say again, a 20% difference was not enough to kid these people's immune system that it was a new virus. They easily recognized it as a sibling, a brother, a cousin of something they'd conquered already. So when your government scientists tell you that a variant that's 0.3% different from SARS could masquerade as a new virus and be a threat to your health, you should know, and I'm telling you, they are lying. If they're lying, and they are, why is the pharmaceutical industry making top-up vaccines? They are making them. You should be terrified at this point, as I am, because there's absolutely no possible justification for their manufacture. But they're being made, and the world's medicines regulators have said, because they're quite similar to the original vaccines, the ones that are being given now, we won't be asking them to do any clinical safety studies. So let me just say again, the variants are not different enough to represent a threat to you. So you do not need top-up vaccines, yet they are being made and the regulators have more or less waved them through. I'm very frightened of that. There's no possible benign interpretation of this. I believe that they're going to be used to damage your health and possibly kill you. Seriously, I can see no sensible interpretation other than a serious attempt at mass depopulation. This will provide the tools to do it and plausible deniability, because they'll create another story about some sort of biological threat, and you'll line up and get your top-up vaccines, and a few months or a year or so later, you'll die of some, you know, peculiar explicable syndrome, and they won't be able to associate it with the top-up vaccines. But that's my belief, that they're lying to you about variants so they can make damaging top-up vaccines that you don't need at all. And I think they'll be used for malign purposes. And if you don't wake up, that's what's going to happen, I think, during next year. So you don't need vaccines, and you don't need any of the measures that have been introduced at all. So it's not just a shade of opinion here. I would say objectively, none of those things were ever required. And yet governments and their scientific advisors have lied to us for a year. And I think they've just produced, you know, mayhem, potentially sort of fatal damage to our economies and civil societies. You don't need to be vaccinated by inadequately tested and somewhat dangerous gene-based spike protein-inducing proteins. And you don't need to do what you're told by corrupt scientists who are apparently advising our government. It's simply not true that the variants that it throws off as it replicates are sufficiently different from each other to represent any threat at all. It's not even unlikely, it's impossible, based on the thousands and thousands of variants that have been formed. They're all very, very similar to the original. In fact, I joke about them and call them samients, because they're so similar, you might as well see them as the same. So you've been infected, you'll mostly survive unless you're very close to death anyway. You're then immune probably for decades, possibly for life. It's not true that the variants represent any kind of threat. It's not true that you need a top-up vaccine. Most of you don't need a vaccine at all. Most of you would be well advised to stay away from experimental vaccines, unfortunately, that do come with a blood clot risk. Why would you take a risk with your health for something that's not a threat to you? And someone who's been vaccinated doesn't need to see someone else's vaccine passport, and someone not vaccinated doesn't need to see anyone else's vaccine passport. They don't provide you with any safety at all. They're not required at all. What they provide, though, is complete control over your movements to whoever controls the database that your vaccination status is connected to. Let me just quickly explain it. I hope you grasp this, because this is not optional. This is what's going to take over your life in a way that George Orwell in 1984 didn't even dream of. Imagine you've been vaccinated and you've been awarded a vaccine passport on an app. It's going to be the world's first database that contains your name, a unique digital ID in the same format as absolutely everybody else on the planet, on the same database, and it'll have like an editable health-related flag that will say thumb up that you've been vaccinated, or maybe a red flag if you haven't been. Now, the algorithm, that the rules that works out what you can do with or without your vaccine passport, that's what's going to control the rest of your lives until you die. But imagine if they say, now you need your valid vaccine passport to enter any large shopping complex, and then every large store. That's going to provide a coercive pressure on people who've chosen not to be vaccinated. They'll have to get vaccinated. Now, it's an illegal thing for your government to coerce you to accept any medical treatment. And it's against the Nuremberg Code that was put in place after the Nazi doctors were convicted of performing experiments on people, including lethal experiments. That prevents you coercing people to take experimental therapies, because then now they're taking part in a medical experiment against their will. But if this vaccine passport system is up and running and you're told, say, that you can't enter any shop at all without beeping your vaccine passport, now you can't enter any retail establishment. You can't control what those rules are. You've no idea who's setting those rules. Don't allow this system to come into force. It's going to be used to coerce you. And let me just give you another example. You know those variants and the top-up vaccines I spoke about? I believe if you allow vaccine passports to come into force, you'll be pinged one day and it'll advise you to go to the medical centre to have your top-up vaccine. And if you choose not to, your vaccine passport validity will expire, which means you won't be able to enter a shop. You may not eventually be able to use your bank card. All somebody needs to do is set a rule that says, as after a given date, before any bank card can be used, a vaccine passport has to be beeped onto the card reader. So just take it from me, you don't need vaccine passports. They provide nothing whatsoever to you or anybody else in relation to safety, but it will give away to whoever controls that database and the rules complete control over everything you do. Let me give you one last example. You're owning this vaccine passport and it pings. And in addition to advising you, you need to come to the health centre for your top-up vaccine, perhaps your second one in a year, it also advises you that you need to bring your small grandchild down because your daughter hasn't brought the little lad in yet. And they say if you don't bring that grandchild down, your vaccine passport will expire and that of your daughter as well. Now try resisting that. Simply think. This system is being put in place using lies, and it's being put in place using lies for some purpose, and I believe that purpose is complete totalitarian control. And I think the purpose of that is going to be mass depopulation. I can't think of a single benign interpretation for the simple creation of these top-up vaccines, let alone the lies that surround them. And I'm absolutely terrified that the combination of vaccine passports and top-up vaccines is going to lead to, you know, mass depopulation, deliberate execution, potentially of billions of people. You can stop it, but do not allow it to be on an interoperable, global, fixed format database, because that will be the end of human freedoms. And it's, I just see no way of recovering from that once the system's up and running. The frustration I feel is that we simply can't get this information to very many people, and a very few of the people who will even hear this will do anything with it. That's why I'm literally at the end of my tether. I've tried and tried and tried, and I can see that the people running this have played an absolute blinder. They must have thought about it for some time. And they've used a relatively small number of lies, which they've chosen to be quite close to something that's plausible. And then they've just, you know, pounded this script of half a dozen points relentlessly. And the only other thing they've needed is to frighten people to death and then censor everybody else. That's all they've needed to do, really. Simple story, repeated censorship and fear. And here we are. So it's just, remember, we're subject to censorship. So, of course, I'd been busy as hell. And of course, you'd never have heard of me. This is the problem now. Almost no one has heard of me or anyone speaking similarly. Almost nobody. In fact, one of the reasons I'm very disappointed is I've had a sort of realization over recent weeks that it really doesn't matter what we do. If we do the things that those operating this global fraud expect, we will lose. They already know we'll do these things. They've mapped it out and they've worked out what are the things that are most likely to happen. It'll be, well, there'll be some noisy individuals. Well, as long as we can control the amount of the share of voice they get, then we don't need to be worried about them. And I'm worried that I've done absolutely nothing that differs from what they have already modelled and wargamed, and that did not work, or they wouldn't have moved off with this plan. So unfortunately, the conclusion I've got is collectively we need to do something unexpected, and if we do expected things, we will lose. That's a bit pessimistic, but forgive me, I've been a research scientist all my life, not a propagandist. It's only recently I've realised that I'm, you know, in a trap, really, that I'm playing my role as a, almost like an icon in their game. I'm a representative of a tiny number of people who'll be noisy, and they're fine with that. Government knows who I am. I know people in the government, and I've been advised they knew who I am. But they won't do anything because I'm ineffective. They haven't left me alone because I'm off target. They've left me alone because they know I can't reach anybody. I briefly worked with the the UK chief scientific advisor, Sir Patrick Vallance, when he was, as I was, researchers in the Wellcome Research Labs in about late 1980s. You know, I know who he is, he knows who I am, but they leave me alone because I'm ineffective. If I become effective, that would be different. But I think they're not worried because they have complete control of the mass media, TV, radio, newspapers, internet. And the only people who will see me are really people already looking for information. So I doubt I'll convert very many people because people who need to be converted are not looking. They're looking at main media, and that message is completely controlled and hermetically sealed. So if we carry on doing the same things, we're just playing out our expected role in a simulation that whoever's running this has already thought about. So I don't want to worry you, but it's probably true, isn't it? We don't know very much about them. We don't know anything at all about the potential for long-term side effects. So if it turns out, for example, that they induce cancer in 1 in 10 people, I don't think that's likely. But since we don't know anything, anything's possible, right? So it's inappropriate to be giving these to more than the most vulnerable people. So when they first were emergency use authorised, and they were to be used only in the elderly and already ill, I could understand why they were doing that. But when in the UK the government said, now we've got the list of everybody else all the way down to the age of 18, that we want all of them to be offered the vaccine, and it's clearly more than an offer, and now they're even running studies in children who don't suffer from COVID-19. Not a single child in the UK who was well has caught this virus and died, not one. But there are 10 million children under the age of 10 who I'm confident they're going to be wanting to vaccinate. Now, this is completely wrong. You know, there's simply no basis for doing this. It will result in injury and death of some people. Every medicine has some side effects, so you would never use it on scale unless the people receiving it were at risk of the illness, and they're not. So you will notice if you ask some friends who've been vaccinated, ask them, were they informed in writing that these are experimental medicines that have not yet been approved? If you weren't, you were administered an experimental agent without your consent. That is contrary to the Nuremberg Code, a code put in place after World War II, recognising the foul human experiments performed by Nazi doctors. The Nazi doctors, by the way, were pretty much all hanged for their crimes against humanity. And I'm sorry to say that NHS doctors who are administering these agents to people who are not at risk from the virus and are not telling them that they're experimental are also breaching the Nuremberg Code, and I believe they're doing it knowingly. And I think there should be a Nuremberg 2, and I think those physicians should be tried on those charges and appropriate sentences handed down. So if you're one of those physicians, I hope to be around to see you in the court. When this virus was first being talked about, before it kind of landed in each of our countries, I think we were given exaggerated suggestions of exaggerated risks. You know, early on people were talking about maybe 3% of people who were infected would die, which is truly awful. Something like influenza, it's normally thought to be about 0.1%, 1 in 1,000. But even that doesn't give you any idea of your relative risks. And let me just tell you, you know this anyway, the older you get, the lower the chance that you'll make your next birthday. So if you're 60, as I am, statistically, I've got about a 99% chance of making my next birthday. But by the time I reach my mid-80s, you know, it's maybe only got about a 50% chance of making my next birthday. And inevitably, you reach a point where you don't turn the cards over. If you think of the risk of dying for having been infected by influenza, frankly, the older you get and the iller you already are, the greater the risk that will be what carries you off. You know, something has to. And this virus that causes COVID-19 is pretty much like that. It's a slightly bigger risk for you. If you're above 70 and already ill, it is a bigger risk to you than flu. Not a great deal more, but it's slightly worse. But the corollary is also true. If you're younger than 70 and you don't have prior illnesses, it's less of a risk to your health than is influenza. So it's just absurd that you should be happy or willing to let your economy and civil society be smashed for something which represents, for almost everyone working, a lower risk than influenza. But that's true. It was never necessary for us to have done anything. We didn't need to do anything. Lockdowns, masks, mass testing, vaccines even. This is certainly a time for people who know or suspect that what is being said to you by our politicians and scientific advisors is wrong. It's time to stand up and say, no, withdraw your consent. There's something awful happening. You know it. Those people of you who are listening to me that you've suspected for some time that this isn't right, don't look away. Don't look away. It's time now to find other people like you who are not quite sure but really suspicious. Find somebody else and talk to them. Because if you find someone else who thinks, God, I'm glad you said that because I've thought this is lies as well, then the two of you can go and find a third person. And just once you've woken up and realise you're being lied to, it's very, very frightening. You don't have to do anything with that at first, except don't forget that realisation. Find someone else who also feels the same.